This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday. And we have a bunch of stuff we're going to get to this hour. I will get to emails in a little bit. I want to expand more, a little bit more, on that video yesterday we got from senators, Democrat senators, and members of the House. It is, at least I'm happy about this, it's causing a lot of controversy out there. People are angry about it, speaking up about it, but I wanted to use it to have a talk we've had before. We had it briefly last night, but I want to explain how it works, how stochastic, it's known as stochastic terrorism, how communism works, how does it work, what is it about? And people are mad about it. Jesse, how can senators get away with stating don't follow orders, so on and so on. So let me recap for those who missed it. United States senators, Democrats, and members of the House, they weren't secretly filmed saying these things. They produced this video themselves, and it is produced. Staffers sat down with them, filmed these things. Somebody edited the film into one long montage, and then they themselves published it. I swear we didn't do some undercover journalism where we hacked into their computers and grabbed these videos. They edited the film, put this patriotic-sounding music behind it, and then publicized it themselves. Here it is.
Americans trust their military.
But that trust is at risk. This administration is pitting our uniformed military
and intelligence community professionals
against American citizens.
Like us. You all swore an oath
to protect and defend this Constitution.
Right now, the threats to our Constitution aren't just coming from abroad,
but from right here at home.
Our laws are clear. You can refuse illegal orders.
You can refuse illegal orders.
You must refuse illegal orders.
No one has to carry out orders that violate the law or our Constitution.
We know this is hard.
And that it's a difficult time to be a public servant.
But whether you're serving in the CIA,
the Army,
or Navy,
the Air Force,
your vigilance is critical.
And know that we have your back.
Because now, more than ever,
the American people need you. We need you to stand up for our laws,
our Constitution,
and who we are as Americans. Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up the ship.
We'll come back to that. First, we have to understand that communists always, no matter what their level of power is, always view themselves as infiltrators. Revolutionaries and infiltrators. They always operate as if they are outside of power, even when they're in power. They operate as outside of power subversives who must infiltrate an evil system and break it down from within. So communist revolutions that have happened in the past, in the Soviet Union, we'll start there because it was the beginning. They had royalty. It was the czars there. They had royalty, a royal family that had ruled for 300 years. If you wanted to take that family down, wanted to take down the government system of Russia at the time, and you were a communist, You had to infiltrate it at certain levels. Maybe not all the way up to the highest level if you can't get there, but you can't do it all for, as an outside revolutionary group. You can't do it all from the outside. You know, at even if it's local police or something like that, you have to infiltrate positions of power in order to subvert the system from within and bring it down, right? Think about a government system like a building, like a skyscraper. The building has a foundation, right? It has floors. It has a foundation. Have you ever seen a building demoed, a controlled demolition done on purpose? Do they blow the top or do they blow the bottom? They blow the bottom. Collapse the whole thing. Think about governments, all forms of government that way. And think about it like this. The communist is trying to gain access to the building so he can place the explosives on the foundation of it and cook it off and bring the whole thing down. That's what they did in Russia. On to China, same thing. Cambodia, same thing. All across South America, wherever they tried this, Bolivia, Cuba, everywhere they've done a revolution, they had to infiltrate. Now, move past that. Understand that the modern Democrat is a communist. Their base are all communists. Your liberal Aunt Peggy is a communist. Most of these people don't know they're communists. They'll deny it when you call them that, but that's exactly what they are. They were trained by communists who were trained by communists who were trained by communists. They're communist infiltrators. And even when they have all these institutions, they operate as infiltrators, as subversers, as revolutionaries. Sorry if I'm getting too myopic for you, Chris. What? They're operating as infiltrators, right? Now, set that infiltration thing aside. We'll come back to it in a moment. Let's have another talk. We've had many times before. I understand we have all these new listeners, so we're going to have a discussion about how there are always, have always been, and will always be two different sides to communism. There are elite communists and there are street communists. Elite ones, these are the people who actually have the power. The wealthy communists, the politicians, the media personnel, the professors, these are the elite communists, the decision makers who hold genuine power. But they can't do it alone. They've already infiltrated at some level, sometimes highest levels, but they still have enemies within the system who must be taken care of. How do you do that? Well, you need another side. You need useful idiots, if you want to call them that way. I call them street communists. Your liberal Aunt Peggy is one of these people. You need an idiot who will believe ridiculous lies. You know, your liberal Aunt Peggy who says Trump called Nazis very fine people. That's exactly who I'm discussing here, the Democrat in your life. You need a moron who will believe lies. And then once they take in and believe the lies, they will march out as foot soldiers and attack the people the elite communists who have told them they should attack. Brandon Johnson's the mayor of Chicago. Listen to this.
So it failed. And what they
That's completely the wrong one. Chris, could you do me a favor and play Brandon Johnson from Chicago? Because that doesn't sound like him. That sounds like Tim Burchett.
So it failed.
Yep, definitely Tim Burchett. Hey, Chris, unless Brandon Johnson moved to Tennessee, we don't have that one. Go ahead and play it, buddy.
And I'm talking about the 8 has made us all less safe, and the Constitution is hanging in the balance.
Yeah, look, you're spot on here. I mean, it reminds me of words that the writer Gary Young wrote, you know, about 10, 15 years ago, where he essentially said that Jim Crow had a son. And, you know, instead of, you know, wearing their sheets, you know, out in public, they display the same value system of those who, you know, believed solely in white supremacy.
Brandon Johnson is an elite communist. He needs street communists angry. He needs them to believe ridiculous lies as if they're still fighting against Jim Crow, fighting against slavery, fighting against the North. These are, of course, insane, ridiculous lies. but idiots will believe it. This kind of talk motivates street communists to take action. Now, okay, we've covered that before. Elite communists, they give orders to street communists. Street communists hear the orders, carry out the orders. They will attack who they're told to attack, loot, vandalize, murder, do all the street animal things they do. But here's the problem with that. If you're a street communist, you don't want to go to prison. You don't want the cops to show up and shoot you, pepper spray you. Nobody wants to go rot in a prison cell. If you're telling me to go hurt somebody, you're telling me to go throw bricks at ICE agents, you're telling me to... Well, what are you going to do if I get in trouble? This is how they work together. The elites give the orders. The streets carry out the orders. Then the elites protect the streets from punishment. It might sound, if you're paying attention to it, it might sound like this.
On that blue line train, Chicago police tell us a 26-year-old woman got into an argument with a man that police believe is 45 years old. That argument turned physical, and at some point he threw liquid onto that woman and set her on fire. The man took off running. Now, she was able to make it out of the train, but then she collapsed.
That man was in a psych ward. They decided he was too dangerous for the psych ward. The judge let him go free. We'll finish this in a moment. Before we finish this, speaking of the street animals, remember the Black Lives Matter protests? That was a communist movement. That was race communism, using an opportunity to move forward and turn criminals loose so they could rape and murder and destroy police departments, and it was insanely successful. I know people think it's past now, but big city police departments have never recovered from that, and people are still in prison, innocent people, because of that. Did your cell phone company participate in it? Because they did it with corporate sponsorship. You know that, right? Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile participated in it. PureTalk didn't and would never. You want to switch? You know they have this special right now, $29.95 a month for life. For life. I've never seen this special before. Pick up your phone, dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. It's time to switch to my wireless company. Taxes and fees are not included. Some restrictions apply. See puretalk.com for details. Offer ends 12/7/25. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday, a hump day, and I will get to emails as soon as we finish our talk about stochastic terrorism, how it works, that Democrat video. So Democrats put out a video basically telling people in the CIA and the military to defy the Trump administration. We talked about how the communist is an infiltrator and always views himself that way, as a subversive infiltrator, and how there are two sides, as you know, elite commies and street commies. The elite commies give the order, the street commies carry out the order, the elite commies then provide the street communist with protection from consequences. This is how it works. It's how it's worked now. It's how it's worked for a long time. It's how it will work until they are stopped. So let's focus for a moment on the orders part. Let's drill down on that. Orders. So how do they give the orders? I know when I was in the Marine Corps, when we got orders, it was always quite specific. Maybe we were in training, maybe we were in combat, but it was not, there wasn't a lot up for interpretation. You're going to do this at this time, and then you're going to do this, and then you're going to do this, and they may not always tell you why, but the orders were quite clear. But elites can't do that, can they? Because if you're an elite communist, a judge, a media person, a politician, and you start telling people to break the law, that's against the law. Can't do that. Not allowed to do that. I can't sit here, and I'm not even an elite anything. I can't sit here on the public airwaves and tell you, hey, go find a Democrat and punch him in the face. One, I don't want you to do that, please. Two, That's against the law. I can't tell you to go commit an act of violence, and God forbid one of you would do it. Can't do that. So what do I do then? Well, I kind of have to just, in the most subtle ways possible, I have to guide you over to the person you want to hurt, and I have to use the most lawyerly language possible, lawyerly language that will do this. When you inevitably hurt that person and someone blames me, I have an out. I have deniability of some kind. I've played it for you before. I played it last night. I'll play it again. It's the greatest example ever. Jaya Powell is a congresswoman, a communist from Washington State. She told her communist followers to break the law. This is what she says in this video. But she doesn't say it that way. She says it, massages it. So she basically takes the street communist and carries him right up to the line of legality and points him in the right direction across that line and then walks away from it. Here it is.
We might call this getting strike ready. I think of it as getting a strike ready or street ready. And part of that is understanding our own strength. And as we develop that strength, being able to assess our risk tolerance.
Pause for a moment. Our risk tolerance. So let me ask you something. Are you worried about getting a speeding ticket? If you drive the speed limit on the way home tonight, on the way to school tomorrow, are you worried about getting a speeding ticket? If the speed limit is 35 and you drive 35, are you worried about getting a speed limit? Speeding ticket? No, of course not. Why? We're not breaking the law. What would create risk? What would your risk be then? Well, you would only have risk. You would only need risk tolerance if you intend to break the law. That's why she used that word. Go on.
Because we know that risk tolerance increases as the severity of the situation increases.
Risk tolerance increases as the severity increases. Hey, you're in a hurry. You're going to be late for work. Now, look, you're going to be late for work if you don't step on it. You can't afford to go 35 in a 30. You better go to 45. You know what? You better go 55 in a 30. The situation is severe. You don't want to be late for work. It's a call to break the law.
And as our own understanding of what's happening increases. So overall, the more we understand what's effective, what the risks are, and who's ready to participate, the more impact we can have.
She took the street animal, picked him up, pointed him at the target, ran him right up to the line of legality, dropped him there, and walked away. Didn't break the law, didn't tell him to break the law, but told him to break the law. Now, that was Jaya Powell. You've heard that on this show 1,000 times. I'm going to play this. These are United States senators and members of the House of Representatives. And they're not just speaking to normal street animals. They're speaking to all those communist subversives still in the military, still in the CIA, who've burrowed themselves throughout the government.
Americans trust their military.
But that trust is at risk.
This administration is pitting our uniformed military
and intelligence community professionals
against American citizens.
Like us, you all swore an oath
to protect and defend this Constitution.
Right now, the threats to our Constitution aren't just coming from abroad,
but from right here at home.
Our laws are clear. You can refuse illegal orders.
You can refuse illegal orders.
You must refuse illegal orders.
No one has to carry out orders that violate the law or our Constitution.
We know this is hard.
And that it's a difficult time to be a public servant.
But whether you're serving in the CIA,
the Army,
or Navy,
the Air Force,
your vigilance is critical.
And know that we have your back.
Because now, more than ever,
the American people need you.
We need you to stand up for our laws,
our Constitution,
and who we are as Americans. Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up the ship.
That's stochastic terrorism. And it takes place at the highest levels of the Democrat Party. We'll do some emails next.
I've got an animal inside of me.
Jesse Kelly.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Your love, your hate, your death threats, your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for Friday. You can go ahead and get all those emailed in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Ramming attacks on ICE agents spike. This is the direct result of the stochastic terrorism. Remember, stochastic terrorism is essentially leaders giving out very, very vague orders, not to necessarily specific targets, but orders they know will be carried out by a violent underclass. You're living in it. You are sandwiched. The elite communist scum, the street communist scum. We now have United States senators telling CIA agents and military personnel to subvert the agenda of the President of the United States of America, and they say it on camera.
Americans trust their military.
But that trust is at risk.
This administration is pitting our uniformed military
and intelligence community professionals
against American citizens.
Like us, you all swore an oath
to protect and defend this Constitution.
Right now,
that's really, really bad. Let's do some emails. Fellow Marine Jesse. Oh, we were talking about El Salvadorian food recently. I was born in El Salvador and through the grace of God have become a U.S. citizen. How about that? I was also at 29 Palms on 9/11. No way. I was at 29 Palms. I mean, I was stationed there, but he was also there on 9/11. How about that? What a small world. Regarding El Salvadorian food, try the pupusas Revueltas con cortito. Why are you laughing, Chris? Is that nice? You couldn't say it like that. Quit being myopic. It's a thick, handmade fried tortilla stuffed with seasoned pork and mix of cheeses. That sounds phenomenal. The cortito is a pickled slaw that's served on the side. Don't be bashful. Put the curtido on top of the pupusas and enjoy with your hands like a man. Add salsa to taste. His name is Carlos and Semper Fi, my brother. I'm going to go ahead and pass on the coleslaw because coleslaw is wretched no matter what, Chris, what? You said pickled is different. How do we know that, Chris? Are you an expert on El Salvadorian food? You don't know anything about El Salvadorian food. And by the way, I would already worry that it's going to mess up my pupusa. I want to taste the pork. I want to taste the tortilla. I want to taste the cheese. I don't want a pickle of salt in my mouth. I don't want it. It's not necessary. When people do this on burgers, it drives me crazy. Well, I put the lettuce on there to cut through the burger and the cheese. Why do you need to cut through the burger and cheese? It's not necessary. Anyway, what are these called again, Chris? Pupusas Revueltas con curtido. Will you look those up, please, and see if we... Please. Thanks, Chris. Chris is looking them up right now. Chris, I don't, buddy, you did catch the part about it being pork, right? And I hate to step in and be your rabbi here for a moment, but I'm not sure that one's going to fly, buddy. He's going to have to watch me and Corey enjoy. Don't worry, we'll let you know how good they are. Hey, Jesse, if the Trump administration continues to get illegals out of the country, easing the stress on housing and hopefully entitlements, do you think prices will really come down? I'm skeptical, so on and so forth. We haven't played the Frito Bandito in a while. Can we hear it again? You know what? We need this.
Ay, 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 ay. I am the Frito Bandito. I like Fritos corn chips. I love them, I do. I want Fritos corn chips. I'll get them from you. Ay, 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 ay. Oh, I am the Frito Bandito. Give me Fritos corn chips and I'll be your friend. The Frito Bandito, you must not offend. Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos.
All right. If we can get the illegals out, will it ease the stress? Supply and demand is a real thing. No matter how many times controlling people try to make it not a thing, it's a real thing. If there's a market for pupusas, and I want affordable pupusas, the more restaurants that serve pupusas, that will serve to drop the prices because the restaurants have to compete with each other. Okay, but if I want a pupusa and there's only one restaurant that serves pupusas and there's a market for pupusas, well, they can charge a fortune for the pupusas. You understand? Everyone, you get this. I get this. Housing in the United States of America is very, very expensive, criminally expensive for a variety of reasons. So let's touch on, before we get to the illegals, let's touch on one of the other reasons that people don't talk about enough. And I was actually talking to Carol Roth about this before. There's all kinds of laws now that exist that didn't exist before, laws and rules when it comes to zoning. And I'm not going to bore you, I swear, just give me a minute, but this is why you need to get involved locally. People will say, well, back in the 50s, my grandparents had a house and they were 25. What was the square footage? What was the square footage? I know the square footage of my parents' first home was well under 2,000 square feet. The square footage of my parents' first home was less than the square footage of the apartment I got when I got out of the Marine Corps. I had a 1,400 square foot apartment. Their first home was less than that. Now, I know that's a decent sized apartment, but their square footage was less than that on their home. They used to build for starter homes, 1,100 square foot homes, something that existed. Why don't they build those anymore? You can argue there's not as much of a market for it. You can argue it's about developers. But one thing you cannot possibly argue against is there are zoning laws now where a developer will buy up a big chunk of land. He goes, he buys 20 acres. He wants to divide it up into 40 different lots. Everyone gets half an acre. And there are going to be rules that come with this of you can't build a 1,000 square foot home there. Everything has to be a 2,500, 3,000 square foot home. Well, that home is going to be unaffordable for entry level people. So you're 50 years old and sniffing retirement before you can actually move into the freaking neighborhood. So that is part of it as well. Keep that in mind. We're going to move that aside. Supply and demand. I keep using the number 50 million when it comes to deportations. That's illegals and legals. Remember, I do not consider immigration wonderful just because some idiot politician decides it's legal. 50 million. It's north of that. You know that, right? I use 50 million because it's easily digestible. And it's probably not that inaccurate. No one knows exactly. So I figure it's close enough would stick with that. Deport 50 million, deport 50 million, deport 50 million. Those 50 million people, foreigners, they're not living in cardboard boxes. They're not living under a bridge. That's the poor veteran who fought in Afghanistan and now has mental health issues. He's the one living in a cardboard box under the bridge. The foreigners are filling up those apartment complexes and homes. Homes that are being rented out. Apartment complexes being rented out. What happens to those rental prices when 50 million foreigners pack up and leave? supply and demand, those prices have to come down. Now, the timeline on this gets more difficult because there's always a lag and because things take time, especially when things are designed to be difficult. And that, in fact, we're going to address the deportation and our system when it comes to immigrants in a moment. Before we get to that, some things are designed to be difficult. Other things are designed, sadly, to be easy. Abortion in this country has become such a major industry. It has become so culturally acceptable. It's easy now. If you're a woman who wants one, it's easy to get one. Shoot, you get a telehealth meeting now, they'll send you a pill, kill your baby in the comfort of your bathroom, then flush it down the toilet. That is a deep demonic evil. And it's hard to fight against evil that's easy, right? And that's where Preborn comes in. Preborn has clinics set up across this country. Preborn's network of clinics, they give free ultrasounds to those young ladies. They introduce them to their baby, to God, to love. And Preborn does this, and it's tax deductible for you. When you give $28, it buys that woman an ultrasound, $28 for her life. You can give them $28,000 for all I care. It's tax deductible. The year end is coming. Imagine deducting something like that on your taxes. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you go. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse
USA!
Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday. Don't worry, we still have more than an hour left. All kinds of stuff to get to. We're going to talk about the education system and make more fun of Michelle Obama that she just can't help herself. All that and more is still to come. But back to what we were discussing. Question was about illegal immigration. If we really get illegals out, is it going to help the housing market? Is it really going to drive down prices? Yes, but we have to get a couple things. First, there's always a lag, right? Even if I could take 1 million illegals tonight and snap my fingers and they're gone, beep, gone, there would be a lag of some kind before that cost savings got down to you. There's always a lag because there are so many layers involved when it comes to the cost of housing. We'll leave banks out of it. We'll just make this about rental because that actually simplifies it even more. If Chris is this wealthy financier, and I'm trying to make it easier for people to understand. What about Corey? It's going to be you, Chris. If Chris is this wealthy financier, and he decides he wants to build an apartment complex so he can, of course, make money. He's probably not going to use his own money. Might not even be liquid enough to use his own money. He's going to go to a bank. You know he's going to know some bankers inevitably, and he's going to get a loan of some kind. He's going to get a loan. He's got to build it. Well, then he's got a loan to pay back. Then he has to advertise that he has an apartment. Then he has to fill it up with people. He has to charge. You see, there's all kinds of lags involved. So now let's go down the road 5 years. I take half of Chris's tenants and I send them back to Yemen or wherever his people are from. I send them back to Yemen. Well, now Chris is already struggling. How soon does Chris decide he needs to drop the prices in his apartment complex? Or does Chris go a different route? You see, it just takes time. So one, there's going to be a lag. Two, we've talked before about how communism in America, leftism of any kind, the growth of government power and the shrinking of freedom, it tends to be more of a ratchet than a pendulum. I didn't come up with this concept. Others have years ago, so I'm piggybacking off of things other people have said. A ratchet meaning it only tends to turn one direction. And then when you try to maybe turn it back the other direction, it doesn't work that way. I've talked about how Trump is building a deportation machine before. There's a lot of parts to the machine. One part of it, ICE agents. You know they put out the call and they put the funding in that bill. You know they put out the call for more ICE agents. We want to hire 150,000. Do you know how many ICE agents we had under the Biden administration who were actually men and women on the ground whose job it was to arrest illegals and deport them? Do you know how many? 3,000. There were about 6,000 ICE agents in total. 3,000 people for a country of this size. That's intentional. Your deportation force, it's not even a force. It's a deportation satellite office. What can you do? 50 million foreigners, 3,000 ICE agents. Okay, well, that's got to change. We're in the process of that. Remember, they've been there for 10 months. You have to get the money first to hire new ICE agents. Then you have to advertise that they're hiring ICE agents. When I log into social media, I get the ads all the time, government-funded ads. Hey, do you want to work for ICE? Are you this and that? Believe me, they're not targeting me. I'm too old and out of shape. But you get what I mean? You have to go find them. Then once you get the recruits in, you have to try to weed out the losers. And there's going to be all kinds of those, all kinds of Corys in there. And then once you weed out the losers, then you have to train. You see what I mean? That's a lag, and it's going to create, there's going to be time required to create that machine. But wait, it's even worse. And this part is even more difficult. The judges. I know what you want. I know you just want them to grab an, me too, you just want them to grab an illegal off the street and drive him right to the friggin' airport and put him on the plane and send him home. That's what I want to. But it doesn't work that way. They get hearings. You have to have judges. We don't have near enough judges. Not near enough judges. About 20,000. That's how many we have. I'm not making excuses. I'm explaining that we have to build the spaceship before we can go to the moon. We can't just decide, I want to go to the moon. It doesn't work that way. I'm glad we made the decision. I'm glad we're moving in that direction. We don't have a spaceship. We don't have what we need to deport 50 million people, not even close. Let's say Trump gets to 2.5 million this year. Good. Okay, fine. Fine. That's not near enough. And they know that. We need 5 million a year, 10 million a year. If we're being honest, when you look at the influx, remember there are still bad people coming in. You need 15, 20 million people a year. You need the ability to deport 15, 20 million people a year. That means locating them. You have the personnel to arrest them. You have the judges and the court time to get them in, get them a hearing, get them to the airport, get them out. That's going to take time. Yes, the deportation of 50 million foreigners will go a long way to solving almost every freaking problem we have in this country. It really will. The cost of your life is better. Crime obviously goes down. Cleanliness gets better. The culture itself gets better because it gets cohesive when you don't allow all these little mini countries to set up shop inside of your country. Oh, the Minneapolis Mall being a Somali hangout is ridiculous. Anyway, but it's going to take time. I get very impatient. I'm a naturally impatient person. Maybe you are as well. It's going to take time. Will it get housing down? Yeah. By the midterms? Probably not. Trump administration and House and Senate gonna have to figure out ways to get the costs of people's lives down in a year. And you're not going to deport 50 million people by then. That's the way it is. Legacy Box has the costs down. They have the costs down, and they'll get you the greatest Christmas gift you will ever give anybody. A Christmas gift. Imagine giving your mom or your dad a Christmas gift that you will one day receive as part of your inheritance, and then your children will receive, and their children after them, and their children after them. That's what happens when you digitize your home movies and your hard pictures with Legacy Box. That zip drive, that cloud that holds all those things, is forever. Legacy Box will last longer than you. It might last longer than your family name. That is powerful. You want to sit down with your mother on Christmas morning and watch their wedding video? You think mom's going to cry? LegacyBox.com/Jesse. Get it in now. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.